This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Our Bible text for this Sunday, the first Sunday of 2022, is found in the 17th chapter of Matthew, where it says, Jesus took Peter and two brothers, James and John, led them up a high mountain to be alone. And as the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. And Peter exclaimed, he said, Lord, it is wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy. Listen to him. Well, the disciples were terrified, fell face down on the ground. So would you. Then Jesus came over and touched him. He says, Get up. Don't be afraid. And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus. May God bless the reading of his word. I was driving home late one night, changing stations on the radio, looking for some sports news about the Chiefs, when I came across a call-in show, and it was about your quest to find God. Now, I wouldn't have thought that was so unusual on a religious station, but this was on a secular station. KCMO, one of them, I forget one of them. But anyway, the commentator, he was talking, and he was taking phone calls, and he said, Welcome to the quest. When did your quest to find God begin? Well, one man said, when he was young, he thought science would have all the answers, so he was sort of a scientific atheist. But then he began noticing the order of plants and other living things, which began his quest to find out who was the superior intelligence who could create such an intricate order. Well, then a woman called in who said she was still on her quest but didn't really believe in anything after death. Another woman said her husband had died and then had been revived, and now he was really searching to find spiritual truth. Anyway, it got me to thinking. Got me to thinking about how even though the religions of today differ in many, many ways, they all seem to have one thing in common. They envision the religious life as a quest, as a journey, you know, a movement ever closer to the divine. The Chinese, they speak of the Tao, which means the way. The Buddhists refer to Mahayana, which means the great way. The Sioux call it the red road. In Japanese, it's the Shodo, which means the holy path. And as Christians, we must remember that Jesus said, I am the way. Follow me. I am the truth. Believe me. Have faith in me. And Jesus said, I am the life. Live according to my example. Follow me in your life's journey. Not as a spectator. Everybody say spectator. Not as a spectator, but as a participant. Say participant. See, it's not so easy to say participant, is it? Participant. Someone has said that every baseball team could use the player who plays every position perfectly. Never strikes out. Never makes an error. The problem is, how do you get that guy to put down his hot dog and come out of the bleachers? A question for us to ponder today is, as we journey through life as Christ followers, what does it take to get us to put down our hot dogs and come out of the stands. As we journey through life as followers of Christ, what does it take to transform us from spectators to active participants? You see, this was Jesus' concern with the Apostle Peter in the lesson, the gospel lesson we read earlier. Jesus leads Peter, James, John up on a high mountain, and there in front of their eyes, he is transformed. They're allowed to see a mysterious, awesome, glorious vision of the Lord. I mean, the light is intense. His face shines like the sun. His clothes become as white as light. And that's all we know about it. I mean, there are no photographs, no eyewitness drawings. Any artist conception on canvas that you may have seen, or any spiritual writer's word pictures in books you may have read, strictly out of their own imaginations. There's no way we could truly know what it was really like up on that hill when Jesus was transformed before their eyes. But we do know this. We do know that Jesus and the three apostles, they didn't stay up there. Even though Peter, he wanted to do just that. He pleaded, "Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here." But Jesus denied his request and led the disciples down the mountainside, back to the city, back to the people, back where there was work to be done. Therefore, even in the transfiguration event, Jesus is not portrayed as a kind of divinely appointed cheerleader performing before a group of spectators. No, instead we see him as the divinely appointed man for others who's leading a group of participants into a ministry of service. Now, as you may recall, Jesus told his followers, he said, "Hey, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. Not to be served, but to serve." I mean, Jesus himself said that. And what we sometimes fail to realize is that when anyone, read in the Bible, you'll find when anyone came to Jesus to be his disciple, the first thing Jesus did was immediately begin preparing that person for some sort of ministry. Two by two, he was sending them out, right? First the 12, then the 72, then still others. They were sent out, all of them, to work full time. Well, what do many of us do? Don't we tend to come to Jesus in order to get what we can from him? Don't we usually come to church in order to have our needs met? But sooner or later, see, we discover that Jesus doesn't accept us on our terms. The truth is, no matter what we do for a living, no matter what neighborhood we live in, no matter what our life situation may be, as followers of Christ, we have all been called to participate in a full-time ministry of service. There was once a 75-year-old widowed grandmother. She decided she's going to take a cross-country trip all by herself. And the journey went well for the most part. I mean, there was always seemed to be help available at self-service gas pumps, and there were plenty of senior citizen discounts at motels and restaurants along the way. But one evening, she encountered a real problem. It was time for her prescription medication, which she needed to take daily. Well, the first bottle of the two that she had brought with her was now empty, and the second bottle had one of those child-proof caps, which she just couldn't quite master. I mean, she pushed, she pulled on that cap until her fingers were sore. It just would not open. So in desperation, she went to the motel lobby, hoping to find a strong man there to help her. Instead, she met a woman who promised to send an expert. Before long, a 7-year-old boy showed up, carrying a plastic bag. She gave him a bottle with a twist of the wrist. He had the top off. Then he said, ma'am, please put the pills in this bag and get rid of the bottle. So you might get stuck someplace where I won't be. Well, I can assure you, friends, that if you will follow Jesus as a participant in his ministry of service, you will never, ever get stuck someplace where he won't be. For you see, the same promise Jesus made to his first 11 disciples when he was giving their final instructions, he makes that same promise to us. He said, be sure of this, I am with you always. See, the New Testament community, they understood this. And personally, I believe that's why the early church had such power. They knew Jesus was with them. Now, let's look for a moment at Luke 9, 23 and 24. I want to look there, and because I want you to notice a paradox. That's not two doctors. It's something else. A paradox that Jesus lays on us. Some of us have been coming to church all our lives without really hearing this. So here's what he says. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And here's the paradox. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. Now, Jesus tells us here that anyone who comes to church, in fact, anyone who comes to Jesus in order to save himself or herself is lost. If, however, someone comes to lose himself in the ministry of Christ, he will save himself. See, that person will find their soul. They will discover who they are and why they're here. Now, since this is a paradox, most of us have, and one that most of us have never taken to heart, we are often disappointed. See, it seems that our church experience never really comes alive. So what do? Well, I tell you what we do. We blame the pastor. Or we blame the teacher. We blame the music. Sometimes you blame other members of the congregation. Behold, a baseball team went forth to play a game. And just as the umpire was saying, batter up, the pitcher for the home team arrived and took his place. The center fielder didn't show up at all, but he later sent his regrets. Third baseman likewise didn't show up, having been up late the night before. The shortstop didn't show up because he couldn't find his glove. Two of the substitute fielders didn't show up because they'd gone on a weekend trip, but they said they were there in spirit. And when the pitcher went into the pitcher's box, he looked around for his teammates, and lo, his heart was heavy, for their places were empty. Nevertheless, the game was announced and the spectators were in the stands. There was nothing to do but pitch the ball, hope for the best. Problem was, he had to serve as pitcher, first baseman, third baseman, shortstop, and center fielder. And when the game was over and the players who didn't show up heard that their team had lost, they decided it was time to get a new pitcher. Do you get it? What a great thing it would be if you showed up in this place having made a decision that the church needs you. The church needs a new you. What a great thing it would be if all of us showed up eager to participate rather than spectate. What a great thing it would be if all of us showed up truly caring about those whom we know are hurting and those who need our support. What a great thing it would be if all of us showed up with a get-ready attitude toward our Christian ministry, not only on Sunday, but throughout the week. What a great thing it would be if all of us showed up with an awareness that where we live and where we work and where we go to school are places of Christian mission. What a great thing it would be if we all showed up with the understanding that we are to participate in the church's corporate mission to reach the world and not simply spectate, watching while others struggle to do it. Oh, church, I pray God will open our eyes to see that we will never be all He desires until we all show up. We can no longer get away with simply attending church or giving in the offering. I mean, every one of us needs to realize that we must allow God to transform us and make us different so we can show up ready to go to work together. Everybody say together. Together. See, only then will the unloved and the lost and the dying be able to experience God's love as He intends. See, this morning I believe this sermon is being used by the Lord to surface some challenging questions that we should ask ourselves as we begin this new year. For instance, we should ask, do I see the work of God's church as an intrusion? Do I see it as an interruption? Is it like an unwilling, unwanted burden in my life? Or do I view God's church as a place of opportunity to serve the Lord more effectively than I can alone? God never called us to be a lone ranger. We're to be together. Here's another question. Do I believe that giving my life to Christ was a one-time thing? Or do I realize that giving my life to Christ is an ongoing thing? In other words, am I currently dedicating myself to be used by Christ each day? Each week. For you see, my friends, God is not interested in the life we've already used. He's interested in the life we have left. He's not concerned with saving only our eternal souls. He's also concerned with saving our earthly lives so they can be used to finish the work of Christ. Will you bow your heads for a moment? How many of you hearing me right now have never truly been saved from sin by asking Jesus to be your Savior and submitting to Him as your King? If you haven't ever done it, will you raise your hand? Just raise it up and then back down. How many need a transformation? How many of you need a makeover? You need to be changed, and you know that. Will you raise your hand? Thank you. How many need a change in your attitudes? If you need a change in your attitudes, if you need a change in your lifestyle, if you need victory over a habit, would you stand? You say, I need victory over a habit. I need a change in my lifestyle. I need a change in my attitude. Or if you need a physical healing, will you stand? If you need healing in a relationship, will you stand? How many of you need to change from being a spectator to a participant? Will you join these? Okay. Now, all of you who are standing, would you like to leave today different than when you came? If so, I'd like to ask you to do one more thing, and that's just step out into the aisle and come forward. There's nothing special about the front, but we're going to say this is God's altar. And I've come, and if you can, and you're stand, I want you to come down and kneel. Find a place at the altar, chairs in the front, to kneel. Let's kneel at God's altar. Let's let the Lord transform us. If you want the best from God, then come. And if anyone raised your hand, come and let us pray with you. You who are watching online, you can kneel right where you are. God will meet you there. Let's begin 2022 on our knees, totally surrendered, pledging allegiance to the King of Kings.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.